Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. Was when my mom said, again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish scales, the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free land, revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia Youth Radio. I'm your host, Boomai Secure, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. You know, in 2003, our dude, Lugaba Shakir, Satawa, Natambo Jama, Hodari Kambon, Abasi Ghana, Yaki Ayapo, Dr. Donna R. Evans, and Dr. Rashid Ali developed the concept of transforming the entire U.S. prison industrial slave complex, PISC, into the largest university in the country. The initial name for the project was University of Mind, but under this title, we received very minimal feedback. So by summer 2003, we decided to change our university to the Georgia University, GJU. The GJU curriculum is 1, Pan-African Studies, 2, New African Criminology 101, 3, New African Political Science and Education, 4, Reading and Writing, 5, Math and Science, Computer Science, 7, Green Technology, 8, Sociology, 9, Psychology, 10, Horticulture, Landscaping and Gardening, 11, Cooking and Nutrition, 12, Health and Fitness, 13, Business and Finance, 14, Arts and Crafts, 15, Pre-Release Survival Programs. Now, GJU is inviting tutors and scholars to assist in creating lesson plans. If you would like to volunteer at GJU, please contact me. My email is bomanishakur80@gmail.com. You also find me on Facebook, Bumani Hill Jihad Shakir. We're on the guest call in right now. Hold on, let me see what they at. We're on the guest call in right now. Before I would like to send my salutations to all those who are behind enemy lines, who are constantly educating themselves and creating designs and information literature and books and sending out to the population to help educate the minds and masses of the people out here on the streets. I want to salute all the individuals that are currently educating themselves in their communities and currently doing community work, currently doing work in their families, whether they're trying to be prosperous and build things from a proper perspective. And I want to salute everybody who has been listening to our broadcast in 2014, who have been following us, who have been sharing information with us, who have been executing ideas and solutions and plans with us. You know, I like send a shout out to all the new African political prisoners, all the new African POWs, all the catching new African citizens, along with the resistance, along with the new African independent movement. Hold on, let me see what's going on right quick. Realize we still went on the guest to call in from behind enemy lines. Just bear with us for a moment. real life. We're still waiting on the brother to call in. Trying to get a signal. And all that things here by enemy line. Constant oppression. So I'm still waiting on the brother to call in. So we get this thing off the ground.
Freeland,
I'm back. I'd like to welcome to the show tonight, Brother Hess. How you doing here, bro?
Peace and blessings, comrade. How you doing? Peace and blessings, man. I got my brother here with me. You want to introduce yourself?
Go ahead.
I'm down here with the Brother Hess, and you know, we're just talking about the struggle and what all going on in the system down here at Smith State Prison.
Okay. Yes, sir. It's always good to have brother behind enemy lines sharing what's going on with the people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Brother Hess, can you tell a few little people about the pop move before we start?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, comrade, man. Peace and blessings, love and service, man. We definitely want to, you know, let everybody know, man. Pop's Movement Radio started out up at Hayes State Prison back in 2010, around the December the 9th sit-down, when all the prisoners in the state of Georgia had made a choice to stop working for the state, for the slave master, and actually sit down and refuse to do any more work, you know what I'm saying, for this free labor. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was the time when a lot of prisoners began to start organizing. And so I asked some guys to come together from different tribes and organizations. I myself grew up in the Broken Development since 1992-93 in downtown Atlanta. And I asked the guys who have been also affiliated, you know, with at least 15 years or better at Hayes State Prison to come to the table, and we're going to organize peace. But we didn't want the peace as in, you know, not as in the sense of, okay, we're not going to revolt, but the peace is in the sense of the acronym PACE. It stands for Preparing Everyone to Change Evolves. And so we built a six-step component, you know what I'm saying, where we form a bond with each other based on how we can be valuable to one another's life, even though we're not in the same tribe, culture, religion, and what have you. And in step two, we identify a problem that exists for all of our tribes here in this enslavement camp. In step three, we express the importance of unity. And then in step four, we get into the solution, man. What's the principles that need to be activated here? You know, the self-discipline, the willingness to fight, you know what I'm saying, when everybody else is laying down and just taking whatever it is that the slave master give us. You know, step five, we build a strategy around that solution so we can continue to work this thing out. Even if they get me, the rest of my comrades on these front lines gonna remain on these front lines and carrying this thing out until the very end. And that means the end of the enslavement camp. You know what I'm saying? We're not saying that everybody needs to be free, because there's some people in here that I wouldn't want living around my daughter or my mama. You know what I'm saying? Let's share my wife and, you know what I'm saying, the rest of my family members. And so we know that there are certain people that need help, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they need real psychological help, not what these people are doing and what they designed this enslavement camp to be. And so that goes into the sixth step. Sixth step is simply taking responsibility. We must find young men to groom and prepare them so that way, even when we die or pass on or get too old to carry this frontline fight out, that we already have somebody that's ready to step into place. So when people talk about, damn, it ain't going to never be another Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, yes, it is. We were right here. You know what I mean? It's just we had a few generations away, you know what I'm saying, but we still continue to carry on the struggle. So that's Pop's movement. Pop's movement went on to go into the streets of Atlanta, up to down to LaGrange, you know what I'm saying, to doing switch lanes and all the way over to Macon and back up to Chicago, over to New York, back out to L.A. They just started accepting our six-step movement, man, into almost every city, man, especially where they are, you know, truly affiliated, man, with these street gangs and street organizations. So that's a little bit about Pops, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got our brother comrade here, you know what I'm saying, and we want to speak, you know what I'm saying, about what's going on at Smith State Prison. And anybody know Pops Movement Radio was on the airwaves for over 6 years straight, doing, you know what I'm saying, 7 shows in 7 nights. And we came from all across the country with different, you know what I'm saying, people coming in and hosting these shows. But we never hosted not one show on our own struggle inside the Georgia penitentiaries. And so, you know, man, it's an honor to be able to be here at George Jackson University, you know what I mean, and having you, comrade,
sure,
to host this event. Yes, sir.
True indeed. I really want y'all to. I know. There's a lot of stabbings and medical neglect, other things occurring in there, right? Can you tell? I want to know more about the suicide. Why are brothers committing suicide in there? What the situation is? Can you tell a little bit more about the suicide?
Yes, sir. Most definitely, man. We got brothers in here committing suicide at an astronomical rate, man, that's attempting to commit suicide. And we just had a couple of brothers, man, just actually hung themselves right over here in the hole. And that's where our fellow comrade right here is actually detailed that, you know what I mean? The brothers are asking for psychological help. They're asking for a psychiatrist, you know, a social worker or a counselor, anybody that's dealing in the, you know what I'm saying, the psychological field, to step in and give them some help. But there's nobody there. There's only one old lady who rarely comes around, and when she do come around, she's very scared to even have a one-on-one approach with the actual client, or what we would call convict. And so, you know, there's no real psychological help, and so these brothers are asking, they're crying for help inside these SHU units, you know what I'm saying, special housing units for y'all that don't know, you know what I'm saying, they're basically the hole, what we call it, you know what I'm saying, and these brothers is, you know, going to the shower and staying in a nasty, filthy shower for, you know, 8 to 12 hours and already, you know, dealing with psychological issues to the point where they just give up and they'll take the belt around their waist. And it shows you how unprofessional even the guards here are, because the guards know that these people are asking for help dealing with psychological issues, and they don't even try to strip say y'all. You know, that means take all your clothes, your belt, anything that you have in your possession that you can use, you know, as a tool to be able to strangle yourself, you know what I'm saying, or hang yourself. You know, these people leave you right there with it, knowing that you got these tendencies or this feeling inside of you, you know, that they call suicidal thoughts. And so, man, it's real sick. We had another brother that killed himself, our brother Mandu. Mandu's name is Michael Canty. Yeah, brother Michael Canty hung himself last month. And he did the same thing, comrades. You know what I'm saying? He asked for help. He asked the officer for help. He started crying out the door. So the convicts that was also in that SHU unit, you know, they began to ask, you know what I'm saying, hollering out the back window, asking anybody for help, and nobody would come. And so 9 hours went by, the brother seen no help, and so he went on and put that thing around his neck, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, ended his life. And, man, I tell you, he was a good brother, man, one of my blood brothers, man, and, man, I love him so much, man, I miss him, man, and it hurt, you know what I'm saying, to see that nobody was there to hear his cry. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, you know what I'm saying, actually come in and provide some type of a solution or, you know what I'm saying, any type of help whatsoever. There's no support here, period.
Oh, okay. I have a question. I understand it will be mental health professionals in that, right? Many are counselors, psychiatrists, and doctors, right? I heard you saying that the brother was crying out for mental health attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It, my question is, in regards to the request, in regards to the request that they're requesting, I'm thinking, in regards to the request, are these requests actually being delivered, or is it going to the officer listening, but he's not passing the message on? I'll fill out the request, so to speak. Then another thing. How often does the mental health counselor come around?
Okay. That's a good question. You know what I'm saying? Comrade asked, you know, what's going on here as far as, you know what I'm saying, when these guys are asking and requesting for psychological help, you know what I'm saying, how long is it taking for them to finally get that help? And then also, how often is the psychiatrist slash social worker coming around to actually check on the convicts in the SHU unit? I'm gonna let our comrade come in and answer that because he worked back there in the actual unit. That way he can give you hands-on, detailed information. Right. Comrade, come on in. Tell everybody your name.
My name is Hussein. I'm one of the brothers down here at Smith State Prison. You got, as far as how the mental health counselor thing go down now, you got people, you got a brother back there, they ask for help all the time. You may have the older lady that he told me to come back there, but I mean, they might as well be talking to me. I do more counseling than she do because, I mean, she's really an elderly lady, like probably 80-something. And she don't understand mostly of what they talking about, and she's too scared to really come up to the flap and figure it out. You got people who yell, scream, beat the doors, I mean, all day and all night and ask for help. They ask for help, 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 and they can't get no help back here. I mean, it just the whole situation back there is a filthy situation. The environment filthy. It got rodents. It got bugs. It got like everything that shouldn't be in there is living in there. Like I mean, it's the condition that creates mental illness. That's the kind of condition that they're living in. I mean, you can't even get your hair cut to even look like anything. Like, everything is savage looking.
Right up. From the metal being all rusted and stuff to, man, I'm talking about the nastiness and the filth of the mattresses.
Oh, okay. My thing, Brother Hussein. I understand you do detail right now, right? So you might be doing detail. How often do people go to the shower? How often does they get clean and supplied to clean their cell up? Let a lot of them do that.
If they get it back though, I'll pass out and give it to them if they get it. But it's like they might not get it for weeks.
Literally.
And far as how the shower thing goes, I myself, I try to clean out the shower so they have somewhere at least they can go in and actually bathe. But no matter how much you clean them, they have not been clean in so long and so filthy, it still looks filthy once I clean it. No matter what type of hard chemical I use, they still nasty. They got dents in the ground where they got old water. And I tried to pressure wash them. I tried to do everything to them, and it did nothing for them. The old water is in the shower. It stinks. It smells like at the bottom of a dumpster. Like, it's no matter how you try to fix them and clean them, they filthy. They just filthy all the way through.
Wow.
Like, dog.
Wow.
I mean, they try to give showers, but when you're dealing with a prison, that it may be 5 actual staff members at work. So we may have one in the building that we at, but the other building don't have nobody work over there. So they got nothing. Ain't nobody over there to help them, no orderly to help them, no officer to help them. They beating on the door, they yelling, they screaming, they need medical, they need help, and it's nobody to help them.
Hey, comrade, well, money, I want to bring in this fact, too. Now, you got to think now, it's supposed to be an officer on the floor, an officer in the booth, and then also on the other floor. But, comrade, there's nobody nowhere, not in the booth, not on the floor. You know, we had a Hispanic brother that we called Nino. Nino got into a fight with his cellmate in the hole over here 2 months ago in the H2 unit. in the A School unit when he got into the fight with his cellmate. It was alleged that after they got into the fight that, you know, they both had sharp devices, around them, and they both, apparently got a little too heated into the fight. We don't know what happened next, whether the Hispanic brother stuck himself or got stuck or however, with these sharp devices. But what we do know is that, the people began to start, even his own roommate went to banging on the door asking and crying for help. Now, mind you, it is 11:45 at night. They came.
Yeah, hold on. The brother's call just dropped. Damn. Hold them, say they call back in. All right, the conditions are harsh. Harsh on the brother. And these slave systems, these slave camps, modern day slavery, abusive conditions. Yeah, we still waiting on the brothers to call back in. Get bear with us, good people. We still have 100 brothers call back in. Get some more of this information. I think I'm gonna open up a couple of lines and get people a couple of thoughts while you're waiting on your brothers to come back. That's what I'm gonna do. Okay, the first call line I'm gonna open up is 281-667. You have any thoughts about the information your brother's sharing, or you got anything you wanna say while you're waiting on them to come back? Two eight one six six seven. Your line is open. You have anything to say or comment, or you wanna mention while you wait on your brother to come back? Your line is open. You can do so at this time. 281-667. Okay. Six zero two five five zero. Your line is open. You have anything you want to say or add to? You anything you want to say about the information that has been shared, or anything you want to mention, or to the people? You can do so at the time. Your line is open. 602-550. Your line is open. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 1111, your line is open. You have anything you want to say or add to this, about this conversation? Do so at this time. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah. I'm gonna give your brother a couple more minutes. If not, we're gonna end the show. I don't think it might not be coming back on. Might be coming back on. I'm gonna give your brother a couple more minutes. Okay. I see y'all brother back, man. Go ahead and say what you're saying, man.
Yeah, free the land, man. And,
body, man, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, comrade, man. You know what I was going to say, man? You know, of course, it's supposed to be an officer on a floor. It's supposed to be an officer in the booth and an officer on the other floor. So that's three officers in each building. And like our comrade Hussein was saying earlier, you got three buildings on this side where the hole is at. So out of the three buildings, you only got one officer doing the job of nine officers. Do you know that is impossible? You talking about a shift that they have at the Georgia Department of Corrections? That's, yeah, fucking right. And these shifts are requiring each officer to work 12 to 15 hours each shift. If these officers are working 12 to 15 hours each shift, and you got to do the job of nine officers, that lets you know right there that that's a cruel and unusual punishment to any brother that's behind the walls of these shoe units, because he's not being given food on time. He's not being given, you know, adequate care and concern, because they're supposed to sign door charts by each door every 15 minutes to 30 minutes. There's nobody signing no charts. You know what I'm saying? They may come around once.
They're gonna come around once and sign it five times.
Five times, back to back to back, to make it seem like that they signing it in multiple time frames. But it's all a lie. You know what I mean? And they're doing that, you know what I'm saying, to be able to cover what they feel like they audit sheets, you know what I'm saying, which they could actually care less about our lives. And even when they sign it, they're not looking in the room. You know, we had one brother, I'm going to say this real quick. We had one brother, you know what I'm saying, named Mr. Hill. He passed away about a month and a half ago, and y'all can check the record if you want to. Mr. Hill is out of Athens, Georgia. He was right here at Smith State Prison in Unit H1. I want to say cell 113, I mean 213, if I'm not exact, you know what I'm saying, correct me. But the brother had a situation where his bunkmate began to start doing some type of a drug and started what we call wigging out, meaning acting real crazy. And so the captain at the time named Hartmeyer, I believe his name was Hartmeyer, Mr. Hartmeyer came by to do count at 9 or 11 o'clock, and the young brother, Mr. Hill, said, "Mr. Hartmeyer, please, Captain, get me out of this cell. My roommate is wigging out, man, and I feel in danger of my life." Mr. Hartmeyer looked at him and walked right on off and continued to count the rest of the convicts behind the other doors. Well, then the ship officer came by, and he started his count. And Mr. Hill told him the same thing. Officer, please get me out of this cell, man. This man wigging out, man. He's twice the size of me, man, and I'm afraid for my life. The officer told him in response, and we got this reported from several different convicts, and you know what I'm saying, in the unit of H1 in here at Smith State Prison, that he told the brother, Mr. Hill, in writing exact words, "Your ass better learn how to fight, young nigga, because if you don't know how to fight, boy, you're going to get fucked up," and walked off on this brother, Mr. Hill. Well, the next day, there was a convict that had a cell phone device, apparently, or some type of device to be able to reach out. He was talking to his wife, and he seen over into Mr. Hill's cell where the door flap was open, and seen Mr. Hill being stabbed multiple times by this big old roommate in the room with him. Now, this is where it get crazy. This man get his wife to call 911. She called 911 and tell him that there was a reported incident of a man being stabbed to death inside of a cell here at Smith State Prison in H1 unit. And the people still had no officer, you know what I mean, in H1's booth where they called, not in H1 building itself, nor anywhere in the whole H building. There was no officer in H building, the other shoe unit, which is J building, J1 and 2, nor the disciplinary dorm, which is G1 and G2. There was no officer anywhere on that entire side of the prison. What are you saying that to say, Brother Hicks? It was reported that this sister called 911 12 times, and over an hour passed before officers got to the scene of where the 911 call was being reported for. When they got to the cell, they found Mr. Hill hog-tied up, had been raped, you know what I'm saying, brutally raped and sodomized. And when they finally got to his body, he was cold, you know what I'm saying? And from what I understand, the man had been stabbed, you know what I'm saying, below his stomach, you know, so many times that he was stabbed to death. He was strangled. They had a belt around his neck, and he was, you know, basically hogtied with his waist, you know what I'm saying, open to be penetrated and raped, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm just saying that to say, man, this shit's sick, man. And they don't give a motherfuck about us, man. You know what I mean? And
not only did they do that, after that happened, they just put another man in the same room with the same one who just did that.
Pulled Mr. Hill's body out, you know what I'm saying, bleeding from the waist down, from the stab wounds and the penetration of rape. And put the guy that did it back into the cell, and right now he is still in that same cell, if I'm not mistaken, and got a new roommate. That's another small dude.
Two times smaller than he is.
This is fucking crazy. And it's like we're being set up to
kill
each other, and they don't have nobody for us to call on for help. We got an emergency button in the cell, but that emergency button goes off in the booth, but there's never any booth officers anywhere on Smith State Prison compound. Not in the regular units, not on the whole unit, nor in the old folk unit. And so they leaving us totally depleted of anybody to be able to call on at a time when we need help, man, when it's a fucking real emergency, whether it's a rape or a beating or a stabbing or a heart attack, a seizure. Like, we were having real incidents, man. It's over 1,300 convicts here. You know what I'm saying? That means that our lives are being placed into jeopardy, you know what I'm saying, multiple times a day, and by us not having anybody to call on, we in here going even more crazy because we're stressed out. And some of the brothers are taking that stress and using drugs that's making them, you know, wig out of it. And I don't know if you all understand what I'm saying, but it's like a cycle of fuckery. You know what I mean? It's going on in our lives. We already serving life without. Some of us got only 5 years. How you going to put a man in here that only got 2 years left on a 5-year sentence with somebody like me that got life plus, you know what I'm saying, that don't come up for parole for 35 years the way this Georgia Department of Corrections system is set up right now, man? That's fucking crazy, man. I'm going to pass the mic back over, comrade.
The thing I want to ask, you know, so I understand that y'all are actually short of staff, right? Y'all short of staff.
Very short. Yes, there's nobody work here really. This is so short of staff. You may not have nothing working. You might have sometime it may be two officers that work the entire prison. You have nothing here.
One have to do the job of a CO1.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So if a person files a grievance or I try to get some of the additional legal officials, is anybody getting a mail or a contact out regard to get legal assistance, or is the system blocking that or something? Are they blocking that or what? What's going on with that situation?
You got some people that file grievance, but the process, it don't get that far. You got a lot of people, they have no understanding on how to file a grievance. They don't even know the procedure to write one.
Some gangs write to be.
Then, you know, you got a lot of different gangs, so they feel like if you write a grievance, then you're telling on people if you write grievance. And I told all of them, like, that's crazy. But then you got some of the brothers, they just don't know what to do.
Scared of retaliation that they know what
we're doing. And if you write a grievance, it may come back 4 or 5 months later, and it haven't been processed properly how it's supposed to. Like, it's really the system that they got here is nobody to really do anything.
Period.
Like, everything you got may be backed up. Oh, you may not get your mail. You may not get nothing. You might get your mail
later, 3 months later.
Like, you might right now, you got some people getting mail still from December, and
hey,
it's June.
I just got some from February.
Like, you might get 3 weeks of mail now that you should have got 3 weeks ago. You got mail that they'll bring down here. Since nobody don't work here, they might come in the booth and leave it in there, and 3 weeks later or a month later, they find your mail.
They're really crazy. You know, some of the things I'm thinking about, you know, like the aspects of reaching out to the local newspaper, aspect of reaching out to a local news station and let them know the situation, or also reach out and turn the fire to people that are actually put the pressure on the prison, right? You know what I'm saying? What is a legal attorney, you know?
See, when they call it turn of files, most of the people from this area are turn of files. They be people who ex work here. So when they come in here, you be like, man, that sergeant, what's y'all? They be like, man, they all together. They all running together because they ex people who work here. They just left here. And they go join investigation, turn of files, and people like that, and still don't get done because they all in cahoots together. That's their auntie. That's their cousin. That's his homeboy.
True indeed. True indeed.
So they...
True indeed.
Like it's going crazy.
Okay. So my question is, for people like me on the outside, what people on the outside, people listening, what actually can we do to assist y'all? What can we do?
We need people to actually like to speak up more and push it through the media on more of the condition was going on. Like there's a lot of people in Georgia that cared nothing for what's going on in prison. They don't care nothing about how people being treated. They don't care what's going on. They don't care. Now they feel like you're in prison. You should be in now. That's what you did. That's what's going to happen. But how I'm looking at it, well, I want people out on the outside to make people aware of the situation. Like, this is what happened to your brother, your son, your daddy, even your sisters that's in prison. They got the same condition we do. So it's something that should be made that we want to be made aware.
We also need our family members to start contacting the Southern Center for Human Rights, because that's the only organization that's even willing to step up against the Georgia Department of Corrections. You know what I'm saying? I know people talk about ACLU and SCLC and the NAACP, but them motherfuckers ain't trying to goddamn fuck with these authoritative figures up under the state of Georgia flag. They not fucking with these people, period. They afraid of them, you know what I mean? And I'm not speaking on no specific individual, but I'm just being honest. You know, like the warden said, you know what I'm saying? You got to litigate. And ain't nobody willing to litigate against these people for whatever repercussions that going to come against them. So if you think about that, if you got motherfucking major powers like the NAACP, the SCLC, you know what I'm saying, ACLU, all these fucking so-called liberation units that see what the fuck going on with us down here, and don't, you know what I'm saying, do shit, don't even make no calls. Like, if everybody's afraid of these motherfuckers, then what the fuck is it that they got that they holding over everybody? And then on top of that, who is going to actually stand up against these people? And the only way to be able to change it is through litigation. You know, we're taking upon ourselves right now, you know what I'm saying, to get ready to file a restraining order against these motherfuckers and get them to goddamn either pay these officers and these psychiatrists and these motherfucking medical workers double by court order, you know what I'm saying, or else, man, and that's what's going on, because ain't nobody willing to stand up for us, man. And when we stand up for ourselves, they probably going to try to assassinate my motherfucking ass and come right here ass, man, you know what I'm saying? And so now our ass going to be on the chopper block, you know what I'm saying, for the lives of 13+ hundred, you know what I'm saying, brothers in the penitentiary walls. But we're willing to risk ourselves, man, but we just pray that somebody willing to goddamn get with the SCLC, because they reported they're the only one that's willing to go against this regime right here. And we also asking that if we do get this restraining order in, that somebody may show up at the court. Or if you scared like we scared, fucking we scared as a motherfucker to do this shit. But we doing it anyway, goddammit, because fuck it, I'd rather die on my motherfucking feet facing these motherfucking shit eaters than to live on my knees, goddamn, up under their motherfucking boot. And so with that being said, man, we just hope people to show up at the court. And if you're afraid to show up at the courthouse, then goddammit, hell, call the fucking judge when we get sent back to this motherfucking concentration camp. You know what I'm saying? Let them know secretly that you support, you know what I'm saying, what the fuck going on, because don't nobody else fucking support.
True indeed. True indeed. I understand exactly what you're saying, you know, in regards to the legal intimidation, the home white guy ain't playing. Because one thing we do know and realize that a lot of the prison system in Georgia is influenced, highly influenced by the Ku, highly influenced by white supremacists and the Klan members, as well as race of white Freemasons. You know, we understand that, you know. We understand that predicament. You know, we also understand that there's a lot of things been manufactured in the prison in Georgia, such as the boot plant at Autry, the tag plant in TFL, the hall farm in Reedville, other places. A lot of these facilities are multiple million-dollar corporations. That involved in the corporate world and in the world, like the outside world, like here. And a lot of the inmates, the prisoners, the convicts, so to speak, who doing their work, you have a lot of them. They might not see anything about Packoff, or they, if they do see something, there's a couple of cents, you know what I'm saying, a month or whatever, a couple of dollars a month. If they even see anything for a multi-million-dollar corporation, that they're saying to be abusing the people on a lot of levels. Not only just physically and mentally, you know what I'm saying, but psychologically, they abuse them in regards to the food that you feed them, the medical neglect, and other situations that threaten a person's life, you know, their livelihood by living it now. I understand exactly what you're saying, right?
And let me say this, comrade. You know that they we got one of them plants down here. Exactly what you're talking about. Definitely here. They got the tag plant down here in Smith and Tattnall County, right here at this prison. But another thing that they're doing is they're depleting us spiritually. You know, we got brothers, you know what I'm saying, of the Yoruba culture, Ifa. We got brothers of the Seventh-day Adventists. We got Christian brothers. We got Muslim brothers. Man, ain't nobody getting no fucking services to go to any of these religious and spirituality services except our Islamic group. And they only getting one Juma services, and they lucky if they get that twice a month. Outside of that, ain't nobody getting no period church call. Ain't no such thing as a Ifa, you know what I'm saying, gathering. Ain't nobody of the Jehovah Witness able to come in here. We not able to get nobody from the Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous groups. Man, we ain't getting nobody coming in this penitentiary. And it ain't about no COVID either. So when they try to say that, man, they can stop the bullshit. Because they weren't doing that for us even before that shit happened. And none of it's been lit up, you know what I'm saying, folks done took these shots. They still ain't letting the motherfucking thing go on. And I apologize for cussing because, you know what I'm saying, I'm sweating. I've been eating, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really just, man, my heart broken, man. I want to cry, you know what I'm saying? But,
That answers my next question in regards to the COVID treatment. How is the COVID and how they treat y'all in regards to the situation?
I mean, dealing with the food, you know, the food we got, they say it's meat, but I think it's really some type of mixed up, grind up soybean type stuff. But it automatically come on the box and say it's not fit for human to eat. It's not fit for human consumption. But they still get people, they still put it on plates and people eat it. It's like, I don't know what type of bean they got, but they like green, brown, and black, and they look like a mess. They look like something you probably should throw away. And, I mean, you got one side, you got food that's unhealthy. What you buy from the store is gas station food. That's junk, and that's unhealthy. Really, the situation is an unhealthy situation, period. It's just they try to feed, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They might give you a peanut butter sandwich for lunch or something like that. I mean, something that's for a child, you know, but for a grown man who's 200-some pounds, that ain't nothing. So, I mean, it's like what they have going, it's just like it's nothing here that actually works properly. It's like nobody cares for anything. Like, when I be down there in the SMU unit and I go to detail, it may be 90 degrees on the outside or 80-something degrees, but I feel like 100 in the inside. And the brothers ain't got no ice. I got to fight with the people about to get ice so they can have ice. I got to pop their doors so they can get water. I got to clean up so they can have an environment that's half clean because you don't have the material to clean up, the brooms and nothing. So you got to half clean it. And I try to do that, make sure they got their food. I try to make sure they got their clothes washed. I try to make sure they got everything they need done before I leave. And it's just like the more you try to help, the more they fight against you. Like, when they see you trying to help people, they don't even want to come get you out of the dorm to go down no more. So you got to fight and battle to get out there to help the people. And it's just so crazy back there. Like, the officer don't care. Like, you get half the food. When they make the food in the kitchen, you get half of what they get on the compound, and they don't get nothing on their tray on the compound. That'd be small. So back there, they'll be even smaller. Like, they ain't getting nothing that is of nutrients to be locked in a room 24 hours. Like, you locked in a room all day, a hot room. You get ice one time a day. Like, they just started sending people out on the yard maybe once a week. So they really don't get no air, get a chance to walk around and stretch their legs, like. And when they come out, it's like the room's so dirty, they clothes so dirty, I have to go and make the people give me chemicals so I can actually let them clean out their room. Like, the condition they got is they got... I've been in prison since I've been 16. I'm 34. I've never seen these conditions nowhere, and I've been a lot of places. This is the worst condition I ever seen, and I've been in this different plantation right here 3 times. And this, every time I come here, don't get no worse than this. This is the worst one with the worst conditions ever. And it seems like it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
The way it sounds, it should be closed down, especially in regards to the medical neglect, in regards to the unstaffing, and to the different form of atrocity that he committed, right? You know, I want to thank y'all both for coming to the broadcast to show y'all not the way I'm saying, to show y'all wisdom, right? You know, what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the lines for a couple of callers so they can make some questions and comments, right? Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Let me open the line for a caller. My first call is 773-3555. Your line is open. You have a question, comment, statement you want to make. Please go through the side. 773-3555. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Good man. This is Baba Khalid London, Chicago.
Free line, bro. Go ahead.
I'm listening to the discussion. I'm so glad. First off, brother, Lamani, I want to thank you for opening up this discussion. I was very much necessary. I just tuned in. I heard the brother talking about the conditions in prison. We've had some unbearable conditions in the prisons in Illinois. At one point, you know, I was able to be involved in something called the Pontiac Club, where they had the men jump under unbearable conditions inside prison. And then it was different organizations in the prison. And they let the organizations out thinking that they were going to fight each other. And then when they got out, 3 guards lay dead. I'm not advocating any kind of violence or anything. But I'm saying that if a man got his foot on your neck, then you got to get his foot off of your neck. And one of the things is that what I'm listening, and I'm an elder, I'm 70 plus years now. And I've gotten old, I've met some great warriors in the struggle, and I know that their death is not in vain. And I think that the answer to our problem is in unity. That all across the country, you got brothers and sisters that are struggling against the prison abuses and everything that's happening in prison. And I was just sitting there thinking, brother, I said, what if we all picked out like that Supermax joint, the ADFX or whatever that is down in Colorado, and we did a mass demonstration on that for them to stop the abuses and shut down that joint. Wherever our political prisoners are, then we do a mass demonstration. And I'm just making this, throwing this out there for discussion, that we begin to organize out those of us that's outside that have been to the joint, that we organize around the those conditions that their brothers just decide. I myself was in solitary confinement for a year in a place called Menard Correctional Center in Chicago. There was no ventilation. And then they put a brother in the cell with me that was on Thorazine, and they didn't give him his medicine. And the brother was, you know, he was trying to ask for his medicine. They wouldn't give it to him. And I kept writing. But, you know, all those conditions are inside prison, but those are the prisons are a microscopic copy of what's happening on the outside. The prison guards that patrol the penitentiaries are the same ones that patrol, just like the police patrol the community. And at this time now, I'm saying that I feel real good about the conditions that we are going, because more and more people are waking up, quiet as kept. It may not look like it, but there's a lot of people that's waking up for the cause. And I'm not just talking about Black Lives Matter, because we've always mattered with the first kidnapping of the first African slave. But I'm saying that right now, more people are developing a conscious awareness of who we are, and I'm pushing for unity. Unity in the community, that we organize all across the country, one effort around one goal. We pick prisons out, and we organize around them and demand relief. But, you know, I don't have much to say, Brother Bomani, but I'm listening, man. And like I say, it's so good to be on this George Jackson radio, because this is one of the premier institutions in our community. And so I'm glad that you let me have this conversation. So I'm out.
True indeed, bro. True indeed. You know, I would ask you having a solution. You have a solution for the brother. That's why I would ask.
The solution for the brother in the charges. Yes, sir. Am I still on?
Yeah, good. Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought I was talking about the solution. The solution is in use. The solution is when the outside meets the inside. But that when we, those of us as conscious on the outside, that we organize against some of these prisons. And mass. I'm talking about mass demonstrations. Thank you.
True indeed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got another caller. 912-380, line is open. Yeah, question, comment, statement, mate. Lead us to the sign. 912-380, line is open. Go ahead.
Free the land, bro.
Free the land.
Yeah, the brother Abdul Hadid, man.
Okay. How you doing, good brother? Go ahead, good brother.
Yo, bro. Man, hey, this shit got me serious, man. This is the brother Hess, man, you know. I know that brother, man. I don't work with that brother. I know what time it is, man. I know what they're going through. I've been down in the penitentiary, man. Grand State Prison. Malia flew down there, man. Going through the same bullshit, man. It's hell, man. On staff, the city boys, man, we got to come together and put our little folks to the side. And everybody who's not come together and just stand one. Sometimes you got to take the ultimate sacrifice to make it better. Right now, we better for you, but we better for the ones who come after you. Because stand up and show these brothers, man, what time is enough. Unify. All these organizations, man, bring your ass together. Stop the bullshit. Don't kill each other. You need to kill them. The enemy is your ops on the other side. You want to kill? Kill their ass. And like I say, I'm very emotional tonight because I know the situation and I know brothers at hand. But y'all brothers just try to hold on, man, and do what you got to do, man. If I can help any kind of way, I'm willing to get in contact with Say What You're Talking, and Grandma, Cooler Resource, and see what's going on. I'm doing that first thing in the morning. God will, you know? But y'all, bro, keep your head up, man. Keep your head up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Free land, good brother.
Free the land.
Do y'all got anything to say? Did you say anything in the feedback the brother give y'all?
Which one is, so you talking to us right here?
Yeah, I'm talking to y'all, brother. I'm talking to you and
Oh, yeah. I was listening to what the elder brother was saying, and I like what he was saying. That's basically what I had in mind, like a movement that pushes on the prison. It might not get out of the prison system, but it's going to get at certain prisons because the prison system condition is overcrowded as it is, and they already have to let or trying to let people go, as they say, which they've been doing several years that still ain't been working. But, you know, being at the prison is in these conditions, now is really the time to move on the prison system and force the release or force a better condition. Better condition, I mean, they have to close the prison because this is a condemned prison. Anytime it rains, everything comes in, water comes in. I mean, you can look up under at the ground through some, you got mice, you got rats, big roaches, like everything come in. It goes from the outside and go right up under the door and come right in. Like, this is a condemned environment, so it should have been closed years ago. And due to a lot of fines and stuff that they be paying to actually make them keep it open. But if we start getting or pushing movement forward that causes them to actually start shutting down prison, then they have to release people in mass numbers because the county jails are overcrowded, diagnostic centers are overcrowded. The prison system is overcrowded. So in order to close some, somebody must go because you don't have enough money to build another one. And if you do, where are you going to put everybody until you build it? So, yeah, I feel
true
like
indeed. True indeed.
And he made a lot of sense on it. It's time to push a movement. You know, I'm from Georgia, so I see Georgia is more of a passive state dealing with the system. They are very passive on the system. It's like they never launched a major movement that I've seen towards the prison system. And without the support of the people on the outside, it's really no help on the inside because they do fear people on the outside. That they do fear.
Yes, sir.
And I've seen that.
Yes,
I
sir. I appreciate it.
Look, brother, police is coming in here.
Okay.
All right, brother. We might have to go out because the police just came in here finna do this count.
Okay, man. I actually appreciate y'all, brother, man, y'all willingness, man. And I'm gonna stay in contact with y'all, brother, man. I got time for y'all, man. I'm staying in contact with y'all, man. I got a couple of ideas, man.
All right, brother. I have another hand. As a matter of fact, it'll be tomorrow.
Okay, brother. Okay, man.
Right,
hey, brother. Hey, y'all brothers, stay strong, man. Yes, sir. Bye, you mean this here? I'm gonna say free land, long as you can have independent move. Yeah, any little one social call right enemy line. If you're looking to our website at www.jordanuniversity.com. Again, at www.jordanjacksonunvi.com. Long little resistance.